the drive to create things. You're a writer, a photographer, a musician, a maker. You're ready to make things happen.
But chasing creative isn't always easy. Your time and energy go to your work, your family, and your life. Is it really possible to make space for the creative in your everyday?
Here at the Chasing Creative Podcast, we believe you can. We're talking to everyday creatives who have insights and action steps you can take today to make your creative plans happen.
I'm Ashley Brooks, a freelance writer and editor at Brooks Editorial and work-at-home mom of two who would love to devote more time to creative writing and journaling.
And I'm Abigail Krebs, the writer and photographer behind Inkwells and Images. I'm living my creative life nights and weekends after I get home from my job at an ad agency.
And you're listening to the Chasing Creative Podcast.
So welcome back to season three of the Chasing Creative Podcast. We're so glad to be back with new episodes and new guests this season. How about you, Ashley?
Yes, I am very excited to be back. Now that the holidays are over, things are a little bit slower. They're still pretty busy around here, but we have a little bit more time to breathe now, and it's good to be back podcasting.
Yes, and you're no longer in the early newborn stages, so is life a little bit more predictable?
A little bit, yeah. Reagan has a little bit more of a schedule than she did when we were recording at first. It was kind of completely up in the air, so things are a little bit more settled now, and you are sitting in your new office, in your new house, with your very own internet, no longer recording from the floor in the library.
Yes, Wi-Fi is wonderful. You never realize how much you miss it until it is gone, so we're very, very glad to be settled and in a house again and ready to, you know, have a real life and not just be project managers anymore.
Yeah, that must be a nice break from all those to-dos and paperwork and checklists and so on.
Yes, very, very much so. So now that we both have a little bit of, maybe normal is the wrong word to use in any season of life these days, but a little bit more normalcy, let's get back to podcasting, huh? And setting some creative goals for ourselves now that we can slightly predict what the day-to-day looks like.
Yeah, so as we record this, it's January, and everybody in January is, of course, all about goal setting and talking about what you want to do in the new year and what sort of new habits you want to create. And so that got us thinking about creative habits and how sometimes those might fall by the wayside. So we want to talk a little bit about setting creative goals and how we make those happen.
Yeah. So how do you choose your goals, Ashley? Do you have a specific like process you go through, or do you just like randomly think of them on the fly and decide you're going to do them?
Normally I just sort of randomly think of them and then go really gung-ho for like 2 weeks and then forget about them entirely and then look back at the end of the year and go, oh, I didn't do that. So yeah. This year I
completely forgot what my word of the year was this year. I had to go back and like look on my blog to see what I'd chosen because I didn't remember.
That's fantastic. Like, I know I blogged about this. What did I say?
Exactly. It was a whole 12
months
ago. And
what was your word of the year?
It was focus, which actually did end up happening just on all of the things that I didn't predict would be the case.
Yeah. So. Well, it's a good word. It works. Do you have a new year now for 2017? Or a new word. Sorry.
I do have a new year for 2017. In fact, everybody does. It's like Oprah gave us one. No, I am not choosing a word for 2017 because I don't know what to expect out of this year with having a baby on the way. So I'm kind of just going to survive this year, I think, is maybe my goal.
That's a good plan because, you know, having a new baby sort of throws you into survival mode anyway. So if that's what you're planning for, then you're pretty much guaranteed to succeed.
Exactly. Setting myself up for a little bit of success isn't a bad thing. So kind of getting back to, do you have goals for this year? You're 2 weeks into January. Do you still know what they are? And are you moving forward with them at all?
You know, I have actually started using the Power Sheets, which are a really popular goal setting tool that I first heard about a couple years ago. I think they were originally by Lara Casey. Now I think she rebranded her company to be Cultivate. So that's sort of what I'm using to set my goals now, because before I used to just set them kind of willy-nilly, whatever. And they've helped me be a little bit more intentional about what I want to do as far as creativity goes. And I think I'm still being pretty easy on myself because I don't have that much time right now. Between the business and the kids, my time is stretched pretty thin. So continuing to make time for the podcast is definitely on my list, and I don't think that's something that's going to be going away. And then in addition to that, it's pretty much the same thing that's always on my list, which is to make time for more creative writing. But this time I have more of a goal to submit more of that writing and submit more pitches to different publications so that I actually follow through and do the work.
Which is really, really easy to not do when you don't have something in mind for it, when it's just something that you're going to like keep in a notebook on your desk and never look at again.
Yes, so, exactly.
Probably good to have some action items.
How about you?
Goals for this year, like I said, mostly just to survive. Kind of all of the changes that come with, for me, a newborn this year is going to be, you know, changing work schedules and all that sort of thing. I kind of had some similar goals to you, doing a little bit more writing that doesn't have a purpose, if that makes sense, doing something creative and that doesn't necessarily make money or like move a blog along, just anything that kind of fills me up and gives me an outlet in this crazy upcoming year.
Yeah. So you're not going to do what I do, which is every time I know I have maternity leave coming up, I'm like, oh, 3 months I'm not working. I should totally do all this stuff. And I plan like all these projects that I don't do at all.
Yeah, I've been tempting myself with maybe a garden and then thinking like maybe I shouldn't try to like grow a child and a garden in the same year at the same time. Like that seems like setting myself up for failure. But we'll see. Maybe we'll continue to go the route of CSA this year and just like preserve some of the produce and not actually have to go weed it out in the yard.
Yeah, that might be a good way to like ease into it a little bit. That seems like a good compromise. And I just realized I forgot to mention, I'm starting a personal blog this year too. And my goal was to have already launched it and I didn't do that yet, but I bought the domain name. So that's like a step in the right direction. And then maybe in another 3 months, I'll actually have written something on it. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, excellent. This is news to me as well. So I'm pretty excited to read a personal blog from Ashley because you blog solely for business right now at Brooks Editorial. So I'm excited to see what the new domain name brings.
Yeah. I think if there's anybody who's followed me for a couple of years now, which I highly doubt that there is anybody who's stuck with me for that long. But like when I first started my blog, I did some more personal writing and more of just whatever I wanted to. And then I really sort of narrowed in on the business side of it within the last couple of years. So the new personal blog will probably be more of the type of things that used to be on my blog that I moved away from. So yeah, that's what you can expect there. We'll see when I get that up and running. Hopefully by the time this episode comes out, it actually exists. We'll see.
Hey, that's a good deadline. So what are you setting any kind of goals with this personal blog? Or are you just going to let it be an actual personal blog? You update it when you update it, you know, no posting schedule, anything like that?
Yeah, my only goal is to not monetize it at all. Like I'm going to have a link to my other website, but I don't want to have, I might use my Amazon affiliate links just because I already have them and I'll probably talk about books. But other than that, like I don't want to have any sort of like, I'm not going to look at my traffic. I'm not going to look at like any other affiliate stuff. I'm not going to have a sidebar probably. I'm just not even going to go that route. Like I just want a space where you can say whatever you want to say and not be thinking in the back of your head like, but how much money could this make?
Exactly. Or what would a client think of this? Or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because those of us who do anything with small business are constantly thinking about all of those things and not just having fun. I think somewhere along the lines, we tend to strip the fun out of everything as business owners.
Yeah. So how about your blog? Do you have any plans for that coming up this year or any new directions you want to go with it?
Yeah. So last year I ended up taking, I thought what was a summer hiatus while we were under construction with the house, and construction ended up lasting a lot longer, i.e. no Wi-Fi ended up lasting a lot longer than planned. And so I really didn't blog hardly at all in 2016 after like May. I think I had a smattering of posts in the fall and then didn't blog in like November, December at all. So my goal with blogging is maybe just to do it once in a while, and that would be really nice. So
yes, fair enough. Also a good goal when you have a baby coming, because again, that's when I'm like, I'm going to write so much. And then you don't at all because you can't even form thoughts. So
exactly.
How can you write?
And, you know, like in the back of my mind is, you know, I should probably overhaul my website and set it up so that, you know, it's easier to hire me or easier to find out what I do, because it's kind of been an amalgamation of 4 or 5 years of me just kind of throwing things up there and seeing if they stick. So doing like a major kind of content overhaul or something would probably be a good way to spend my maternity leave. But like you said, if I can string cohesive sentences together, we might get there.
Yeah. See, another good way to spend your maternity leave would be napping. This is another good idea.
I like that idea. I know we had a few days off last week, the first week of January, which was really nice. And that's pretty much what I did, like, every day, was I would just lay down on the couch with the cat in front of the fireplace and take a nap. And it felt ridiculous. Like, I came out of the first week of having January off and haven't, like, set any hardcore goals or done any, like, work ahead on the blog or anything like that. But it felt really good, and I'm considering that a staycation success.
Yes, that sounds amazing. Like, I don't think I'm capable of taking a staycation without, like, still working or like somehow like being involved in work, even if I'm just like, oh, this is a good time to get some of those background administrative tasks out of the way. Like, I would find something to take me away from just sitting there.
Yeah, I think it was like a perfect combination of having just moved in to the house and then also like coming off the holidays and it being the first of the year. And I knew that I wasn't missing anything like at work because everyone was slow. So it was really kind of luxurious and easy to just shut the brain off for a few days and not think. But consequently, like Scott and I kept thinking, like, what are we missing? We've been in go, go, go mode for so long now. Just there was always a to-do and there was always something next on the calendar. And it was really like unsettling almost to be there for 3 or 4 days and be like, okay, what are we not doing that we're supposed to be doing? And the world is going to fall apart if we don't do it.
I know, it takes a little while to get away of that, like, it's like this urgency, this, like, feeling that you have to be doing something. And so I'm really glad that you're able to get out of that and relax, and you've definitely earned it with everything you've had going on lately. So
yeah, it was really good. And then going back to work this week, we've had something going on, like, every single evening and all day long at work, and it's been kind of a train wreck. So those few days of bliss were well worth it, and I'm glad we did it, and now we're launched back into real life again, so...
So speaking of real life, that tends to be the thing that takes us away from our creative goals and our creative pursuits. So we wanted to talk a little bit about practical creativity and like what we actually do to make creative stuff happen in our lives, because sometimes I think that's a topic we sort of gloss over talking about. We talk about making time for it, but it's like, no, really, what do we do? So I think you've got some pretty good processes for this, Abby. So you want to share?
Yeah, I've got just a couple little things that maybe weren't even intentional when I started doing them. They just seemed like a good idea and I've kept doing it. So one thing that I do to like encourage me to write every year, I guess if I have a goal for this year, it is to write every day or almost every day in some way, shape, or form. I ended up printing out one of Elise Blaha Kripe. I never know how to pronounce her name. I need to learn this. she has a goal tracker, and all it is a single sheet of paper with 365 circles on it, like labeled from 1 to 365, and you cross them off for each day that you do the thing that you mean to do. And so on mine, I just kind of wrote down, like, write. And I said, you know, 2 sentences, it could be a paragraph, it could be a novel, it doesn't matter, just write something. And so maybe like 50% of the bubbles so far this year have been crossed off, but that's 50% more than have been in the last 6 to 8 months. So that's feeling pretty good. So that's kind of my one thing that I'd really like to do this year is just write. Not really care about the structure, not really care about if it gets published or where it goes or if it makes sense, just to write. And so the way that I've kind of been able to do that, even the last couple of months, without knowing that this would be my goal, is I just tucked a like little tiny like 5x8 or so moleskin notebook in my purse, and it goes everywhere with me. So whether I'm sitting at yet another doctor's appointment waiting to get called back to the room, or, you know, at my office at work and just have a thought, or crawling into bed at night, I can grab my little notebook and write kind of whatever's coming to mind and whatever's in my head at the time. It really helps me kind of do that data dump at the end of the day. And then I also feel like I've accomplished something, even if it's just a sentence or two.
Yeah, that is a really great idea, because I know so many people talk about like being the writer who carries the notebook around with them. Mm-hmm. And I've got to admit that I've got like at least 10 notebooks at my desk, and usually an additional two or three in my purse. And I still don't always end up following through and writing stuff down. So I applaud you for actually like making use of that Moleskine notebook. Yeah. Because I have available paper everywhere, and I'm still not always with it enough to jot something down.
Yeah, but then I'll like carry a book with me too to read in my lunch hour, and I don't do that. So I don't know. I think it's 50-50 on what we're focusing on at the moment. So what kind of practical things do you do?
You know, I thought a lot about this, and it was a tough question for me, because I was like, oh, we should talk about this. But then I had to figure out what I actually do, and I like can't put my finger on it. It's like, maybe this is a sign that I need to do something better. Like, mm-hmm. This is a change I should probably make. But I think what I sort of end up doing is I wait until I'm like, I sort of get this like all these ideas, and it's almost like they build up for like several weeks. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I've got like a million other things to do, but I should sit down and just like jot this down in a notebook real quick. And then like 2 hours later, after I've spent the kid's whole nap time, like I emerge and from this like giant journal entry, and it's like, oh, I could probably like do something better if I just did this more regularly. Mm-hmm. So right now, I guess it looks more like giant brain dumps, or since I'm usually like, I usually have something open for the business at some point or another. So sometimes it's easier to open a Google Doc and jot down a couple ideas, or mm-hmm. if I'm already in Asana for something else, for some project management stuff, sometimes I'll open up a new task or a new project that's about creative things. And so what I sort of end up with is all these different disconnected notes that don't really make sense or have beginnings or endings, and usually aren't even complete sentences, and they're all over the place. They're like, some of them are in different notebooks, some of them are in my calendar, some of them are in like every digital tool I'm logged into.
Yep.
And none of it really ever seems to add up to much. Every now and then I'll write out like an entire, what I would call an essay, like something that I could maybe submit to be published if mm-hmm. I polished it up, which of course I never do, which is why that's one of my goals this year, is to actually like see things through. But
you're in good company.
Yeah. So things just feel really scattered right now. And I think I need to be more intentional like that about maybe writing at least in the same place all the time. If not every day, I at least need to keep all those thoughts together in one spot so that I can see any themes or any trends or any like, oh, I should write more about that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe just make a more intentional habit out of that, because right now it's all over the place, which is very unhelpful.
Yeah, I get that. I was listening to The Simple Show with Tish Oxenrider the other day. Mm-hmm. Do you listen to that?
Love her. Yes,
yeah,
I do.
I just started. I don't know why I haven't listened to her podcast before, because I love her blog and read every single one. So I just started listening, and I was listening to one about, she was talking about goals for the new year and how this year she's going to have think days at the beginning mm-hmm. of each month, and just kind of a day set aside that's not for business and not for, you know, personal errands or anything like that. It's just a day where she can think about things and get things organized in her mind and, you know, brainstorm and all that kind of thing. So maybe, and this would be extremely hard, of course, while you're running a business and have two small children at home, but maybe you need like a think afternoon once a month or something that you can devote to kind of compiling all those notes and making them happen.
Yeah, that is, like, I remember hearing her talk about that, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so jealous that she has the time to do that, because, like, I am just, I think half of what I'm doing right now is that, like, I can't figure out the creativity side of my life until I, like, actually get a handle on the work side, which right now is completely taking over, and it shouldn't be taking over, because I've been tracking my time this year and I'm only averaging 10 hours a week. But that's kind of the problem, because that's with me finding like every spare scrap of time I can to work, and it's only adding up to 10 hours, which isn't enough for the amount of work I have to do.
Yeah. And there's no extra for anything above and beyond a paying gig.
Exactly. So I think once I get some sort of a handle on that, either I figure out like some sort of childcare situation or just some sort of like, these are the times and days I'm going to work and, you know, that sort of thing. I think then I'll be able to make a little bit more room for creativity in a purposeful way where something actually gets accomplished instead of just all these little random snippets of notes lying mm-hmm. around everywhere in my life.
Yeah, I like what Callie Fian had said in season two when we had her back on the podcast about how she used to carry a notebook around with her when her kids were little and write like little snippets of things. And even now, 7 and 8 years later, a lot of the times those little tiny moments that she wrote about were turning into stories. And I think that maybe that's yes. with you with little kids and me about to have little kids. Maybe that's a theory that we can kind of hold on to as we go through the next couple of years, that someday those little observations and those little notes that we find, provided we can understand what we meant when we wrote them down, will actually turn into something productive and something that we can be like a product of some sort, whether it's a story or an essay or a business idea. It will be something someday.
Yeah, I did love when Callie said that. That really felt like hope for the desperate survival mode mom over here. But you've got, like, in addition to your Moleskine notebook, you've got some other good systems going on. So I know one of them is you jumped on the bandwagon with the Get to Work book this year. And I am really interested to hear what you think about that, because that has been taking over my Instagram feed. And it yeah. looks amazing, but I haven't tried it. So I want to hear what you think.
Well, after you and several other season one guests mocked me for my inability to just commit to a planner last year... because at the time I loved using my digital calendars. I loved using Evernote. I was in so many different places all day, every day that I figured like carrying a paper planner around with me is just going to be dumb and I'm not going to use it, yada, yada, yada. So I finally did. I finally, about halfway through the year, maybe not quite halfway, maybe like March of the year, finally bought a Get to Work book planner. I've been following Elise for a couple of years now and really, really liked watching her build that product. And so I was like, well, you know, I'm going to try one from someone that I kind of know randomly on the internet. So I bought the planner and it was life-changing for me. And I mean that like in a non-cheesy way. Like I'm not attached to it. I don't take it to bed with me or anything. But I find that writing things down on paper with a pen just really helps me remember things better. Like I can put anything into my iCalendar, and I still do. I put things in multiple calendars so that, you know, Scott has a copy of it, and my work calendar syncs with my personal calendar, and then we have a shared Google calendar for the podcast. So we've got like a billion calendars, but I find that the only way that I really remember it and internalize things is if I write it on that paper calendar and in, you know, the week-long spreads, which is, I think, my favorite thing. I tend to break projects and timelines and things down into week chunks that, you know, Monday to Sunday. And that planner is exactly set up for that, which is handy.
Yeah. So is it just a planner? Do they have, like, I know a lot of calendars and planners these days have all those like extra sections for, yeah. I don't know, like meal planning or goal setting, or is there anything like that in there too?
There's like sections that you can use however you want to, which for me is really handy. Nice. So like at the bottom of each week spread, I'm motioning on my desk that none of you can see right now. Sorry, person who talks with their hands. So at the bottom of each like week long spread, there's just like a, I don't know, 2.5 inch like graph paper section that you can do whatever you want. And a lot of times that's where I end up writing like what we're going to eat for dinner. And then like the left-hand bar of each section has like 3 to-dos or activities or tasks that you need to do like right now. And then at the beginning of every month is like a 1 month calendar overview. And then you've got your 4 weeks of the month. And then at the end of each of those sections, there's project pages where you can break down any project that you want into tasks. So when we were moving, I had like a moving page where I wrote down everyone who was planning to help and what we were going to feed them and what the timeline was. Like, I'm sure Scott thought I was crazy, but I had to write it down or I wasn't going to remember it. And then I'd waste extra time thinking about it a second or third or fourth time, when if you write it down, you only have to think about it once.
This is very true. And that like having a place to have like a list where you can like break down all the tasks that are part of that project, that is really, really helpful for me because I'm a terrible project manager. So right now I do that with a couple of digital tools, but I think it would be really helpful to be able to see that on paper.
Yes.
Especially for like one-time projects or like big projects. Like right now I'm redoing my main website, my Brooks editorial site. And that has been like a series of checklists that I need to keep remembering to go back through. And I'm like, having something like that for a big project sounds like it would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's super handy. So I'm a big fan of the Get to Work book. I bought another one for 2017 and I bought it like in September. So I would make sure and have one. I was not going to let those run out without me getting one this year. And so it's kind of nice to, like, especially now, you know, being pregnant, you have 8,000 doctor's appointments to go to. So I've got all of those in there and, you know, dentist appointments and work appointments and all that kind of thing. And it's all in one place and it's visual and it's just really, really handy. So I recommend if you guys are struggling with trying to figure out, you know, how do I keep track of everything that I've said I'm going to do? Get a paper planner, suck it up, even just spend like the $15 or $20 on one at Target. Just try to write things down and see if that helps you kind of get it out of your head and make space for other things.
Yes, I totally agree. And we can definitely put a link to the Get to Work book in the show notes too. I guess I'm not sure if they're still available for this year or not, but at least that way you can check out Elise and her stuff and maybe make a mental note for next year. So,
absolutely. And you also use a paper planner, do you not?
I do, yes. I have been kind of a revolving door of different paper planners. So the first few years I was in business, I was really attached to the Day Designer. And then I switched for a couple of years over to Emily Lay's Simplified Planner in the weekly edition. And now this year I was just at Target and I was like, man, I didn't order a planner yet. And I found one that was pretty cute and it was like $15. And I flipped through it and it had everything I needed. It had, you know, the month spreads, and then it had the like a bigger spot, I guess, for each daily to-dos, like a fairly large to-do list. So I'm like, you know what, I'm just gonna buy this one. So it's just like off-brand something from Target, and the Power Sheets have kind of taken the place of what a lot of those other planners used to do for me. They had a lot of those like goal setting and like intentional living kind of questions in them. And the Power Sheets go so in depth into that and into like your daily habits and your monthly habits and your big picture goals for the year that I didn't really need those in my planner as well. So I was able to pare that down, which was nice. And then, meal planning, I pretty much just do, we have like a whiteboard calendar just in the kitchen on the fridge. So that's where I do all our meal planning now, if I'm on top of things enough to meal plan, which sometimes I am not.
Yes.
But I've been doing more grocery delivery now. So in a perfect world, I will like make a list of things we run out of as I'm cooking, and I'll keep track of it on my phone. And then after dinner, when we sit down and we're not doing anything, I'll throw them into my online shopping cart and it'll just save them until I place my order.
Oh, that's excellent.
So, if I'm on top of things, that's how it goes. If I'm not on top of things, it'll be like 5 minutes before my order is due and I'm desperately tossing things into my virtual shopping cart.
And trying hope to make that deadline. They make meals when they arrive at your house.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that happens. And I guess that's something that both of us have kind of discovered in the last year. Is it Instacart?
Instacart is what I wish I could use. Okay. They don't have it in my zip code. They have it in like the next zip code over, but not my zip code. So we'll see if they expand. The reason I like Instacart, or I guess I can't say I like it, I've never used it, but the thing that's appealing about it is that someone else does your shopping for you and you can ask them to go to, like, I'm pretty sure, like whichever store you prefer to shop at. And the grocery service I use right now is their own store. So, you know, you have their brands and you have their prices, which aren't always the most competitive. And right now it's worth it for me because, you know, I'm not venturing out in the winter with two small children. But sometimes it would be nice to just be able to tell someone like, no, go to this store and buy this brand because that's the one I like better. And, you know.
Yeah, that would be convenient. I know we just started in the last 6 months or so doing kind of the online grocery shopping through Hy-Vee is kind of our local grocery store that does that. and it, I just kind of like go through, I like essentially shop online, put everything in a cart and check out. And then since we live in the boonies, they do not deliver to where we live ever. That's not ever going to be a possibility. But they do have the option that you can pick up your order at the store. So at least nice. They do all the shopping and get it in a cart for you. And then all like Scott has to do, he works right down the road from the grocery store. He can just drive up and like literally they have a parking spot that you park in and you call this phone number and they bring your groceries out to your car even if you want them to. So that has been kind of life changing in the last like 6 months or so, just because at the end of a long day, you don't have to go to the grocery store and actually shop and put it mm-hmm. in your car and to put it away. You just pick it up. And that's, I mean, it saves like an hour for one of those larger grocery shopping trips. So that's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, it does.
We don't do it every time, but when like we have a busy week or there's a really, really big list or something, I can kind of order it on my lunch hour. Scott can pick it up and then we have groceries. So it's great. I recommend it.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. And I've done something similar with Target has their like store pickup feature.
Okay.
You can't usually do groceries with it. Like you can do some groceries, but not most groceries. So I guess if you only need one or two things and they're like from like pantry items, they might do that for you. But that's kind of convenient because you just walk into the customer service desk and pick up your stuff. But also if you have the kids, you do still have to like get them out of the car yeah. and walk in, and that's inconvenient. So your option sounds better.
Yeah. I never thought about doing that at Target. I suppose you could have them like grab your paper towels and your diapers and things and hold on to them for you at the front desk.
Right. Like if I were already like out and about and I didn't have the kids with me, it would definitely be more convenient. Or sometimes like I'll call Jacob on his way home from work and be like, oh yeah, can you stop at Target? Like there's an order waiting for us. Mm-hmm. And then it just like charges right to your account, which is nice. And I know, I'm curious, have you ever signed up either through Target or through Amazon? They have these like subscription services where if there's something that you order regularly, mm-hmm. you can just set it to reorder every however often. Have you ever done that before?
I have not, mostly because it's always just been Scott and I, and we don't go through things fast enough. Like we don't go through a 12 pack of paper towels in a month. That would be ridiculous. Or we don't, go through shampoo that often or whatever to like have Amazon send it to us once a month. So I've never tried it. Have you?
I haven't. I know a lot of people who say that it's really helpful for them, but I guess I try to be so money conscious that mm-hmm. to me, I'm like, but what if I just don't keep track of it and they send me something and I don't need it yet. And then I'm resentful that I have these extra paper towels. And, in reality, I don't think that would happen because like eventually would we use the paper towels? Yeah, sure. But it just like, maybe if we used regular diapers, mm-hmm. That might be worthwhile, but I cloth diaper for the most part. Sometimes I have to like I get off on a laundry cycle and I have to like use paper diapers.
But I get it. We are plenty to cloth diaper. So I will talk to you outside of this podcast because I don't think anyone wants to listen to us talk about cloth diapering for 10 minutes.
Oh, I bet people do. But what they don't know is that it could be so much longer than 10 minutes. Like,
okay.
I'm sure if anybody has ever looked up blog posts about cloth diapering, there's like a million different opinions mm-hmm. about that. That is a tangent in its own that we will not get into.
We are not the How to Cloth Diaper podcast. Thank goodness. Although I'm sure there's yes. one out there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I can guarantee there is somebody who's podcasting about that.
Yeah. Yeah, not going to be us. So cloth diapering aside, we do love to talk about books, 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 books. So what have you been reading lately, Ashley, that has rocked your world or made you look at 2017 in a whole new way or just made you laugh? Anything?
Yeah, so books are our favorite tangent, aren't they?
They are.
So I've been reading, I'm doing that thing I do where I read like five books at the same time and it takes forever to finish any of them. But the one that I'm currently reading is Chasing Slow by Erin Lochner.
I keep hearing and seeing about this one and I like didn't know it existed until a week ago. And now I really, really want to read it. So how is it?
It's very good so far. I'm only about a third of the way into it, which is really awful because I was sent an advanced reader copy because I'm on her launch team, which means I'm supposed to be helping promote the book and build buzz for it before it launches. And it launched 2 days ago, and I have not yet posted anything about it because I have not yet finished it. So clearly I'm like, publishers, just get me on your launch teams. Like, who wouldn't want me for that job?
Hashtag reader guilt. I don't know if that's a thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, well, maybe this is okay because I'll be posting about it in like 2 weeks when some of the buzz has died down, and maybe I'll like give it a resurgence. But so far it is very good. I would recommend it just based on what I've read so far. I really enjoy Erin's writing from her blog, which is Design for Mankind. And the book is, you know, I thought that it was going to be sort of just another minimalist, like intentional living kind of book that is, you know, sort of trendy right now, mm-hmm. but she really goes deeper into some more topics than I was expecting her to. And it's like, it's one of those books where like you have to read with a pencil because you just keep like underlining and starring things because it's just so relational to what I think a lot of people have gone through. And, with like the fast pace of social media and the fast pace, especially if you work online or if a lot of your work, you need to be online in order to connect with other people, you sort of get sucked into this fast pace of doing things. And she really hits the nail on the head about why that is. And I'm not really to a point in the book yet where maybe she tells us what to do about it. I don't know. I hope she does. But it's very good so far.
Okay, excellent. No, that sounds good. I know now that I'm back connected to Wi-Fi, it's amazing how many minutes and hours you can spend not doing much of anything. And that's not something that I did over the summer and the fall because I didn't have the internet. So it's been interesting to see kind of that switch go back and forth for me. It'll be an interesting book to read. So I will definitely add it to my list now that you have also recommended it, at least the first third of it. I'll catch up with you when you're done.
Yeah, see, I suppose, see, now the podcast, this podcast episode won't be out for a while, but see, I'm doing my part. I am building buzz.
Absolutely.
This is my job.
Yeah.
So how about you? What have you been reading lately?
I feel like not much of anything, which is sad. We just, like, November and December for us were so, so, so busy. And then we kind of, like, finished everything with a house and moved in. And I haven't picked up too many books. I read a short story collection. Have you read Shotgun Love Songs by Nicholas Butler?
No, but I have heard of it because that title like catches my eye every time. I'm like, that has to be good, right?
Yeah, and it's a beautiful book. Like the cover is beautiful. He got great cover art for it. And the book is really good. And Scott actually just read it too and enjoyed it. So I read that about a year ago and really, really liked the novel. It's set in kind of a fictional Wisconsin town, so very relatable to those of us here in the Midwest. And I really enjoyed it. And so I picked up his short story collection at the library when I saw it, and it was okay. Like, the writing was still really good. I mean, he has an MFA from the Iowa Writers Workshop, so of course he's extremely talented. I just felt like some of the topics weren't ones that I wanted to read about. So that was a bit of a letdown considering the novel and how wonderful I think it is. So I read that. Otherwise, my book club picked a celebrity memoir, which are not my favorite thing to read. So that was a bit of a letdown too. Otherwise,
was it one of the like funny girl celebrity memoirs? I feel like those are the only ones anybody's writing these days, or like the like female comedians are like, got to write about my life now and it'll be funny.
It was Felicia Day's memoir. So she's kind of a, I'm going to say nerd, but I don't think that's the right word. Maybe geek is better. So kind of in that gaming sci-fi culture. And she's a really great actress. Yeah. I haven't seen her in a lot of things. But I mean, Joss Whedon wrote the preface for this book is the kind of like circle she runs in.
And the book that says something.
Yeah. And the book was good. I mean, it's her life story. I don't know how it could be bad. It's just one of those things like for book club, how do you talk about someone else's life, like, objectively? I don't know, like, you want to, like, come and discuss issues or things that you saw in the book or things you liked or didn't like. And it's really hard to do when someone is just, like, telling their life story. So I feel like for book club, celebrity memoirs almost just don't work. Have you ever experienced that?
No, you know, my only book club that I've ever been part of lasted for like a year and a half-ish, and we always like got way off topic and mostly just drank wine, which I feel like is what happens at a lot of book clubs, but we were particularly bad at it because like we'd take turns picking the book and the only person who would read the book was the person who picked it, or like no one would be able to come. So we sort of fizzled out after a while and kind of turned into like a separate group. Like, we split off into different groups about writing or about freelancing, so it was fine, but the book club is dead.
The book club is dead. I feel like, our book club is, like, 50-50. Sometimes we get a really good book and talk about it. Leanne Moriarty's Big Little Lies was a great book club to discuss. Yeah. Great discussion book. That one was really good. But then there's been some other ones where it's just like, oh, it was a book, and there's not really a lot to talk about. Because once you find one that's on a topic everyone wants to read and is short enough that everyone can maybe have a chance of getting it done in a month and a half or two, it kind of narrows down the list to like some pretty, I don't want to say bland books, but books that don't require a lot of thinking, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like Big Little Lies would definitely be a good option for that, or any of her books really, because she seems to like fit that line where it's like her books are really easily digestible and really easy and fast to read, but she still hits on some of those heavier topics. It's not totally fluffy. She has sort of a wide reaching appeal.
Yeah. Or they have really killer endings that nobody saw coming. And so you got to discuss what you thought was going to happen and what did happen and whether you thought it turned out okay.
Yeah. And they're making that book into an HBO miniseries now, I think.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, the commercials for it that I've seen look really good, but I don't have HBO, so I probably won't see it.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. I'm still not sure if our TV gets channels where we live. I don't think we've plugged it into the wall yet.
That's amazing.
How far behind we are. We've had, you know, no TV and no internet for like 6 or 8 months. What's a few more weeks? So in theory, I should be reading more books, but instead I've been, you know, unpacking boxes instead, which is...
Yeah,
also good.
That's all right. You know, you're busy. You've got like a baby nursery to get ready along with the entire rest of your house. You know, most people only have one room to redecorate when they're pregnant, and you have like an entire, like everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of sad and awesome at the same time. Sad because like we just built a house. So we have no money. I can't decorate. like all money is going to practical things like blinds and a crib and things like that, which weren't on my list of things to buy this year, but apparently they are now. So
yeah. Isn't that how it goes whenever anybody moves into a house though? They're like, oh, we just spent all our money buying the house. Yep. Now we can't decorate it.
Exactly. So that's okay. Something to look forward to, right? If I got it all finished in like 2 weeks, we probably wouldn't appreciate it as much.
This is very true. So, so I think that's all I had for book club and for talks about creative goals and getting creative things done, which clearly I'm bad at right now, but maybe someday.
That makes two of us, and I think it's probably why this podcast exists. So we're in good company with us both, and I imagine our listeners as well.
Yeah, so before we go, we do want to thank everybody who has left reviews on iTunes or who has emailed us to say hi or to submit guest recommendations. We really appreciate hearing from you guys, and it was kind of overwhelming to see how many emails we still got from you, even though we were not podcasting for several months in there while we took our various breaks to like get our lives back together again. So it is always great to hear from you guys. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Creative podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, be sure to stop by chasingcreative.com to check out the show notes, catch up on past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you leave us a review on iTunes. You can also join in the creative conversation by tweeting to us at Abigail E. Krebs, or at Brooks Editorial, or by using the hashtag ChasingCreative on Twitter and Instagram.
If there's a guest you'd love to hear from on the podcast, or if you have any feedback for us, drop us a line at chasingcreativepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next week, go chase your creative.